Well, hey, Christmas season is upon us, of course, and it's official now because today is the first Sunday of Advent. Many of us, though, I think, shift into that Christmas mode as soon as Thanksgiving is done, and I did that as well because I began our Christmas sermon series last Sunday rather than waiting for our official beginning of Advent today. Christmas season, of course, being the time where we recognize the birthday of Jesus Christ. And so for our Advent sermon series this year, I'm preaching on the theme of celebrate Jesus. That's what we do at birthdays. We celebrate the person who's having the birthday. And how do we typically celebrate birthdays outside of cake and candles and presents? Well, I believe that we typically celebrate people's birthdays by telling stories about them, and we like to look at home videos and remember things about that person, celebrating who the person is. So I want us to do that for Jesus this year in our Advent Sunday morning sermons. In this sermon series, we'll remember stories about Jesus. We'll tell of unique things about him. We may even look at a few home videos. This is his birthday season, so I want us to celebrate Jesus together on these Sunday mornings. As I said last week, it's appropriate that we would take an entire season to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ rather than just a single day, because truly he is a man like no other. Now, when you're celebrating somebody's birthday and you're going to announce what number birthday this is for them, you certainly would want to make sure you have the right number. I am just guessing that there were a couple of you out there last Sunday who were wondering to yourselves how I came up with my claim that this is Jesus' 2021st birthday based on a birth date for him of 5 BC. You might have wondered about that if you have the kind of brain that analyzes these things, because the year right now is 2017, so if you take that plus 5 years, again, assuming he was born in 5 BC, that would actually be 2022, right? So for the two of you out there who were wondering about this last Sunday, I'm going to explain this now, and the rest of you can choose to care or not. When the BC/AD dating system was established, they did not designate a year zero. This is another less than ideal aspect of our dating system. If they had really done it right, well, first of all, they would have gotten Jesus' birth year right, correct? I explained last week that people now think that Jesus was born between 4 and 6 BC. So they were off by 4 to 6 years and when he was born. Secondly, they should have factored in a year zero, and I'll tell you why. But first, let me make sure you all remember what the BC and the AD mean. BC means before Christ. AD means Anno Domino, which means in the year of our Lord. In other words, BC means these are the years before Jesus was born, and AD means these are the years after Jesus was born. That was the intent of the dating system. But shouldn't they have had a year zero then for Jesus' birth so that 1 year later he could have his first birthday in 1 AD? That makes sense to my head, but that's not what they did. We went right from 1 BC to 1 AD, completely skipping over year zero. So actually that last slide there, that's not accurate. There was never a zero. It went from 1 to 1. Okay, here it is now for you on a chart. So let's say Jesus was born on December 25th in the year 5 BC. And of course, we don't know for sure that it was December 25th. That's just what tradition has brought us. And then remembering that scholars believe Jesus was born between 4 and 6 BC. I'm just going with 5, the midpoint there. If Jesus was born in 5 BC, then his first birthday would have been in 4 BC, of course. His second birthday in 3 BC. And then you move ahead there on the chart to his fourth birthday coming in 1 BC. Skip year zero because there isn't one. So Jesus' next birthday, his fifth, would come in AD 1. And if you look further down that chart there, you'll see that that means that his 11th birthday came in the year AD 7. That then gives us some easy math because we know that this year is 2017. AD 2017 minus AD 7 is 2010 years. Add 2010 birthdays onto the birthday Jesus had in AD 7, which was his 11th. And that makes this birthday for Jesus his 2021st birthday. Aren't you glad you know that? Aren't you? Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Doing great, Tom. That's if he was born in 5 BC, we don't know. And of course, we said last week that we remember that Jesus actually was part of the triune Godhead from the beginning of time, so that kind of makes this whole discussion pointless. But Christmas is the celebration of Jesus' birth into human form while shepherds gazed up at angels singing in the sky. So I think it's nice to have an approximately accurate number for how many years it's been since then, and that approximately accurate number for Jesus' birthday this year is 2021. There you have it. Here's the closest thing I could find to a cake with 2021 candles on it. Okay, but back to the main topic. We want to tell some stories about Jesus' life again here this morning as we move through this birthday season of his to celebrate him. Last week, we made the claim that Jesus is a man like no other, and we looked at the very big reactions that he has elicited out of people, both back in Bible times and still today. The reactions might be positive, they might be negative, but they were rarely trivial. Reactions, again, he is a man like no other. Today, I want to focus in on two very special character traits of our birthday guest of honor. But before we get into those stories about those character qualities of Jesus, I want to do an exercise with you now. This is going to be up to you. If you have pen and paper, you might want to take pen and paper out. Otherwise, you can just do this in your heads, too. It'll work either way. Give you a second to get situated there. So what I'm going to do is ask two questions of you now, and you can write down your answers, and this is just for you. You're not going to be asked to share your answers with anyone. Question number one. Can you think of a time in the last 6 months or so, maybe even very recently, when you were not terribly gentle towards another person? Can you think of a time in the last 6 months or so, maybe even very recently, where you were not terribly gentle in your behavior towards a person? If so, I'd like you to write that down. Maybe you could probably just use a word or two to remind yourself of what that situation was. Okay, so take a moment to think about that. I'm going to do this too. Second question. Similar. Can you think of a time in the last 6 months or so, maybe even very recently, when you were not patient with someone, when you were not patient with someone? Could be the same story, but it might not be. When did you lose your patience with somebody in the last 6 months or so? And write that down as well. Alrighty. Hopefully you got some stuff in mind there. Well, hopefully not. Maybe you don't have any instances of that, but I'll bet most of us, all of us, maybe do. So you got that down on paper. Hold on to those notes or your thoughts there. We'll come back to that. Now let's get into these stories about Jesus. This first one will start us in and give us some clues as to what one of these two character qualities about Jesus is that I want to highlight today. This is from Matthew 19. Jesus was teaching and healing people in the region of Judea, and Matthew 19, verse 13 says, "Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them, but the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there." I am certain that the President of the United States, no matter who is in office, has people who handle his schedule. And they may get requests like this one we just read about in that passage there, where parents are wondering if the President could spend some time with their kids. I'm I'll bet it happens. I'm also sure that the general response from those schedulers is, I'm sorry, the president is a very busy man, you know, keeping the pulse on all of these national and world events. He has to meet with the heads of state, and though he would love to spend some moments with your children, he just doesn't have the time. Well, that thought was what naturally came to the mind of the disciples here in the passage we just read as well. I'm sorry, this man, if you haven't heard, he's the Messiah, the one who was promised by the prophets for many, many years to come. And, well, he's working on saving the world, so he just doesn't have time for your kids. But Jesus overheard them, and he corrected his schedulers. Let the little children come to me, he said. He spent time with them and blessed them and touched them. That story shows the love and care that Jesus had, obviously, for people. It also shows his gentle side. Now, we don't know for sure that the kids in that story responded to Jesus like how these kids in this picture here are responding to him, smiling and climbing up in his lap. But I think you kind of get that impression from this passage. Certainly, we could see that Jesus had love for children. He wanted to interact with them. I think the little kids have a radar for this regarding, it's not always perfect, but regarding who is a safe person and who is not. They don't always get it right, but I think they're sensitive to this. My daughter Maya has always been very sensitive to the look on people's faces. And a while back anyway, if I would be concentrating hard on something and furrowing my brow, she would ask me, "Why does your face look like that?" And it looked like a mad face to her, and she didn't like it. And she would always call me on it, too. We have a family friend who actually is a very kind man, but his face just naturally looks a little stern. And so Maya has a very hard time believing us when we say, he really is a very nice man. She's just kind of scared of him because of how that look on his face. So she's got that one wrong, but I do think the kids have a radar for this stuff. And can't you just imagine the children who got to interact with Jesus that they could tell immediately that he was safe and loving? And that scenes like in this picture probably did play out when Jesus walked the earth. I believe Jesus has a gentleness to him. And in fact, he said that about himself straight out in Matthew 11. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Every Palm Sunday, we remember that big entrance that Jesus made into Jerusalem and how he chose the symbolism of riding in on a donkey rather than a war horse. He's gentle. And you'll remember the story of where the guards and others came to arrest Jesus, and Peter drew out his sword and cut off the ear of one of them. But Jesus answered, "No more of this," and he touched the man's ear and healed him. Gentleness rather than force. That's how Jesus operated when he was here. It's one of the special characteristics about him. Second characteristic I want to draw attention to today as we remember and celebrate Jesus in this birthday season of his is a similar one, though it has its distinctiveness. It's the characteristic of patience. Patience. Okay, it's clear that Jesus loved his 12 disciples, but boy, did they give Jesus plenty of opportunity to prove that he was a patient man. You'll remember from your reading of the scriptures that they often just didn't get his parables, and he would get a little frustrated about that, but then he would take the time to explain it to them in a way they could understand. So often it seemed that the disciples were getting it and understanding who Jesus was and what he had come to do, but then they would go do something really stupid and completely off target. And Jesus would have to slow them down and try to explain it again. Here's a story of a good example of this, when Jesus had to demonstrate patience with some of his disciples. This is from Mark chapter 10. "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do for us whatever we ask.'" Wow, that's a bold statement. Jesus says, well, what do you want me to do for you? They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in glory. Can you imagine asking Jesus that? Don't you think Jesus had to be saying, man, how many times have I told these guys it's about humility? Can you imagine saying that prayer to Jesus Christ? You know, Lord, when I get to heaven, I really think I'd be a great number two. I could help you in your ruling over your kingdom. I can't imagine what was in their minds. But apparently, Jesus, in a calm manner, replied to these two men, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, You will drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those to whom they have been prepared. A little while later, the other 10 disciples heard what John and James had asked of Jesus, and they weren't quite so patient about that. And so it says that Jesus called them all together and said, listen, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus frequently showed that he was a patient man, and many of those instances came about when he was dealing with his disciples. It pays to be patient. I'm going to give you an example from my own life. Back when I was in college, I felt God calling me into ministry. And then I got off of that track. First of all, it was by choice because I had some other things I wanted to do. But then I stayed off that track because basically a major self-implosion in my own life when I just did some really stupid things. Mixed in there was some hard things that happened to me, things that were hard for me to, or difficult for me to get through. And then finally, it was just timing of things. It just never seemed to work out. And the end result was that I was out of ministry for many years. Meanwhile, I tried all kinds of other directions, and I've told you plenty of stories about the many different kinds of jobs that I've had over the years as I searched for direction, and nothing ever felt quite right to me. Now, of course, God did move me into ministry eventually, obviously, and I can tell you that I am a much better pastor from having gone through all of those experiences, including the painful ones that I went through, than I think I would have been if I had gone straight into ministry out of college. I'm not saying that God couldn't have done things differently in a different way. Again, a major reason why I was not in ministry was my own stupidity and things I needed to work through. But I think the point remains here. Sometimes it just takes time for God to work out his good plans for us, and we need to be patient. I believe that if we continue to seek God and his direction for us, he's going to lead us to the best situation for us. But it may take some significant time for that to unfold. And if we look for a shortcut to get us to where we want to be sooner than how God would have it, it will not be as good for us as it would have been if we had waited for God's timing. Sometimes we need to be patient. Now, I was not patient. I was grumpy. I would complain about my jobs. I went through periods of being really low, a degree of depression, I think, at times, probably. I was not a good example of being patient. Thankfully, there is a much better example out there of a person being patient for God's plans to develop correctly, and that would be our birthday person here today, Jesus. Jesus knew that God was doing important things through him and that it was vital that he did not rush the process. Each step was important, and he had to go patiently through all of those things. So I've got just one home video for you today. It's a very short clip, but let's take a look at this together.
After this, Jesus traveled in Galilee. He did not want to travel in Judea because the Jewish authorities there were wanting to kill him. The time for the festival of shelters was near, so Jesus' brothers said to him, leave this place and go to Judea, so that your followers will see the things that you're doing.
People don't hide what they're doing if they want to be well known. Since you are doing these things, let the whole world know about you.
Not even his brothers believed in him.
The right time for me has not yet come. Any time is right for you. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I keep telling it that its ways are bad. You go on to the festival. I am not going to this festival, because the right time has not come for me.
He said this, and then stayed on in Galilee.
So there you have the Savior of the world doing construction work, waiting for the right time. He knew the time wasn't right for him yet. And you may remember this story from Mark chapter 8 as well. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets. But what about you? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Jesus knew the cross was coming for him, but he also knew that his teaching had to get out before the crucifixion could take place. So he had to be somewhat secretive about his true identity, or else those who were opposed to him would come at him too quickly. And so when he was speaking to his disciples there in Mark 8, or to his brother in that video, Jesus knew it was not his time to declare loudly who he was. And so Jesus patiently obeyed God and took each step that had been laid out for him one by one. He was patient. Of course, Jesus' patience and obedience was never more clearly seen than when his time did come, when he was arrested and spit upon and mocked and beaten and crucified. Even though Jesus had the power to come against those people who were abusing him and disrespecting him, he willingly took their abuse. He knew God's plan and what was to come, and so he patiently endured those horrible things. Satan attacked Jesus once on exactly this issue, the issue of his patience for God's plan to come to fruition. It was during that time that God had asked Jesus to go out into the wilderness and fast for 40 days. And in the middle of his great hunger, Satan came at him with temptations, it tells us in Matthew 4. Satan reminded Jesus, first of all, that he's the Son of God, and he could, if he wanted to, with a word, turned the stones at his feet into bread. But Jesus chose to obey God and remain hungry and not use his power outside of God's will. A bit later, it describes the enemy showing Jesus a vision of all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said to him, "if you will bow down and worship me." Hey, Jesus was headed to become the king of the earth already, but the enemy here offered him a shortcut. Right to the point of having glory and power. He could bypass all those difficult interactions with people, all the abuse and the cross, and move instead right to the power and the glory. That's what the devil offers to us. He offers quick pleasure. Not having to wait for things, but it always comes at a cost when you do it his way. Jesus didn't go for the shortcut. "Away from me, Satan," he said, "for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Jesus chose to be patient and to go about it in the way God had instructed. Jesus is a patient man. Think of all the false accusations that people leveled to him. I just wonder, have you ever had a false story spread about you or something false said about you? How easy is it to be patient and to deal with that patiently? Jesus is a very patient man. Well, it should be pointed out today as well that just because Jesus is patient and gentle doesn't mean that he was not ready and willing in those Bible stories to call out nonsense when he saw it. In fact, we had a sermon a while back on what is righteous anger, because we saw righteous anger. We see that in the Bible stories of Jesus from time to time. There was his famous overturning of the tables in the temple courts, when Jesus felt that those people there were turning a place of worship and God's presence into a method for making profits for themselves. He got angry at the Pharisees when they criticized him for healing a man on the Sabbath. That was just nonsense. He got upset. Jesus lashed out at Peter once when Peter suggested to him that maybe he didn't need to be crucified. Here's a passage in which Jesus was not all that gentle, Matthew 23. Do not do what the teachers of the law and the Pharisees do, for they do not practice what they preach. Everything they do is done for people to see. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and be called rabbi. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? So, the gentle, impatient Jesus was not always that way. What was it that would get this impressively gentle and patient man to get riled up? Well, in the Bible records, Jesus' angry moments were directed at people who were not acting in step with God's program, who were not behaving according to God's design and direction. And interestingly, none of his angry moments came after people insulted him or hurt him. But if a person was acting in a way that offended God or was not showing love to another person, that would get Jesus upset. So just because Jesus is a gentle and patient man, it doesn't and didn't mean that he wasn't ready to come against godlessness and sin. But we have seen that his general demeanor was one of great patience and gentleness. So here have been two amazing things to celebrate about Jesus as we remember things about him in this, his birthday season. Jesus is a remarkably gentle and patient man. This fact carries with it a couple of very significant implications for us. One of the most vital teachings in the Bible is that in Jesus you have a picture of God. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, he said. And so the fact that Jesus is a remarkably gentle and patient man necessarily means then that God is a remarkably patient and gentle God. Here's a Bible verse for you. 2 Peter 2. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is patient, just as Jesus is patient. And what about that beautiful word picture in Psalm 23 of a good and caring and gentle God? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is gentle, just as Jesus is gentle. So this is a major league implication for us, really. It may, in fact, mean that you need to adjust the image that you have of God in your heads. What is the image that you have of God in your heads? Is he an angry God? Distant? Scary? Unkind? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus said. So do you need to adjust the image of God that you have in your heads? Now don't adjust it too far. We saw that Jesus could get angry in the right circumstances, and that's true then also about God. Jesus displayed his anger over those who oppose the agenda of God. God will also come against that type of behavior. If you decide to line yourself up against the God who made the universe, then you probably ought to retain this image of him as angry and scary. So don't go so far in adjusting your image of him that you begin to think that he's a pushover who says anything goes, because that's not true. But we've seen reason to believe here today that God's general demeanor is one of great patience and gentleness with people. And that's a good thing because you know what? We are those disciples now, okay? We're the ones who occasionally seem like we're getting it, and then we go and do something really stupid. And God has to be patient with us. It's a very good thing that God's general demeanor towards people is one of patience and gentleness. So I ask you again, what's the image of God that you have in your head? Does it need some adjusting to match up with this image of the gentle and patient Jesus, with the Jesus who's taking time for the little children there? If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And then a final implication for us from this fact that Jesus is remarkably gentle and patient. The final implication is that those of us who are seeking to follow Jesus with our lives, we too then need to work to make ourselves into being gentle and patient people. And this is the point. Well, I'll recall your attention to the little pieces of paper that you maybe wrote on or the thoughts you have in your head about moments in the recent past where you were not so gentle, not so patient. Maybe there was a righteous reason for your lack of gentleness or patience there. Maybe there was. But maybe there wasn't. Could you have handled those situations better? Christ followers, let's be sure that we are all, myself included, working to get better at these things. Let's keep this in our consciousness as we go into the next weeks, that we need to work on being better at responding to people with gentleness and with patience, just as our Master did. I think this would be a very nice birthday present for Jesus if we were to work on these things in our lives and be committed to that. So an implication for us that from this fact that Jesus was patient and gentle is that we too ought to be displaying those character qualities as well. That brings us to the end of this part of our season-long celebration of Jesus here. More to come next Sunday. And of course, I expect that you're all appreciating him in your hearts on a daily basis, not just on Sunday mornings. In this season of his 2021st, approximately, birthday, I invite you to celebrate Jesus. He is a gentle and patient man. Praise the Lord. Amen.